Good evening, everyone. We're going to read Psalm 15. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand. One of the welcome team will gladly bring a Bible to you. It's on page 549. Psalm 15. A Psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please turn back in your Bible to Psalm 15. Let's pray. Our Father, your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. As we look at the Lord Jesus, would our hearts be set on keeping your decrees to the very end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as we look at Psalm 15, we are faced with the most important question we will ever be asked. The most important. A question that the Bible asks again and again and again, from Genesis 1 to the very last page in Revelation. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? David asks, Lord, who can live at home with you now and for all eternity? Who can live close to you? How can any sinful human being have a relationship with God that lasts forever? If you live with someone, it usually means that you're close to them. It usually means that you have a good relationship with them. God's sanctuary was his sacred tent, the place where God was said to live among his people on earth. God's holy hill was probably Mount Zion, the hill on which Jerusalem was built on top of. The ideas are really similar. God is in the middle of his people. And how can any sinful human draw near? How could God possibly say, why not come in and set up home with me? David knew that a close relationship with God was what he and what any human being needs most. David knew it was a very serious matter. A relationship with a holy God, the holy God, is not something to be taken lightly or casually. It's not picked up and put down like knitting or golf. God is completely holy and pure. A relationship with him is on his terms. If you were to come to my house and be a guest, and said, Dougie, I need the toilet. It would be unacceptable for you to do that in the corner of my living room. Living at home with God, similarly, the standards to live with Him are exceptionally high. And so as we look at Psalm 15, as God shines the spotlight of His Word down into our lives, the question really becomes, who am I trusting so that I can live at home with God? Who am I trusting to live at home with, so that I can live at home with God? And as God answers David's question, He doesn't name names. He doesn't give a list of, well, Moses will be there, and, you know, well, David, you might be there, and you know. He starts to give a list of qualities and characteristics of those who qualify to live at home with God. I'm going to run through those qualities as we look down the verses. Let's call these things that God loves. These are the qualities for those who live at home with God now and forever. First of all, in verse 2, those who live at home with God, well, their walk, we're told, is blameless. And that person does what is righteous. When the Bible speaks about our walk, it's not speaking about our posture as we walk down the road. You know, it's not speaking if you've got, you know, a curved back or, you know, your ramrod straight. It's speaking about how we live our lives. The person who qualifies to live with God lives blamelessly. They obey God in every single area of their life. In every aspect, at work, at school, towards their parents and with their friends, with those who know them best, and those who might regard them as an enemy. There is nothing that ever calls into question that this person is a follower of God. Similarly, those who are righteous, they always do what God says is good. They always keep His commands. They love to do those things. They love their neighbor. They seek the good of all those around them. That's the first quality of someone who lives at home with God. How are you doing? How am I doing so far? The second quality we're told about is that their speech must be true and restrained. Look what the verse says. This person speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. The mouths of those whose walk is blameless and righteous, their mouths follow the same pattern as their walk. They don't tell lies. There are no half-truths. They don't exaggerate to make themselves look better or make anyone else look worse. There's no bad language. There are no dirty jokes. There's no slander or gossip. They're not texting their friends saying, well, you should have heard what Thingy did last night. In fact, the person who lives at home with God now and forever, they go out of their way to protect the good name of their neighbor. They're that person who, when you tell them the gossip, says something like, you shouldn't be speaking like that, Doogie. That's the person who lives at home with God now and forever. The third thing, well, their loyalty is clear. Verse 4, this person who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Now, when it says they despise a vile man, they're not comparing themselves to others and looking down on them. What they're doing is saying that the people who God loves, the people who walk in the way that God wants them to walk, that's who they hang around with. That's who they look up to. That's what they want to be like. The people that God considers good and right, those who live in that way, that's what they want to do. they admire and pursue and give approval to what God says is good. The fourth thing, their actions are honorable. The person who lives at home with God now and forever, they keep their oath even when it hurts, who lends money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. This person always acts honorably in their dealings with others. When they say they will do something, even if it causes them pain, they don't change their mind. They don't try to wriggle out of a bad deal. That old phrase, their word is their bond. A promise is a promise, and they see it through. Now, you might not be familiar with the term usury. It means that if someone lends you money, they're not going to charge you 2,000% interest. They don't try to rip anyone off. They're not trying to be extortionate. They don't take advantage of other people. They cannot be bribed. And they don't cut corners to make easy money. So God says to David and to us gathered here tonight, who can live at home with God now and forever? Well, it's those whose walk is blameless and righteous, whose speech is true and restrained, whose loyalty is clear, and whose actions are honorable. How have I done in that list? How have any of us done in that list? And to finish off the psalm, we're told that he who does these things will never be shaken. Those who measure up will never be asked to leave from God's presence. They will be there forever. When I think of how I have behaved today, as you think perhaps how you've behaved today, then it must make you think, who can dwell on God's holy hill? Who can live with him now and forever? Who may dwell in his sanctuary? My speech has been marred, not with true and restrained words, but even today with words that, well, I'd be embarrassed if you heard them. My walk, my loyalties, my actions towards others. And in the previous psalm, we're told that God looks down on everyone from heaven, and he sees that all have turned aside. All are corrupt. No one does good. I cannot trust myself to do these things and to meet God's standards. Sin has far too much of a grip and a hold on me. But look at the very last sentence again. He who does these things will never be shaken. You know, there is a he. There is one. There is a someone who does these things who will never be shaken. You see, the psalm is pointing us to the Lord Jesus, and only the Lord Jesus can live at home with God. His life matched these qualities perfectly. In his walk, he only ever did what his Father wanted. His food and drink were to obey his Father in heaven. His words, well, they were always true and restrained. Even as he's being crucified, he prays for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." His loyalty was always clear. He never admired anything that his Father hated. His actions, they were always honorable, even when it cost him, even when it hurt. He promised his Father that he would go to the cross, and he kept his word. He promised his disciples that he would go to the cross, and he kept his word. As he bore my sin on the cross and died the death that I deserve, he kept his word. He never took advantage of anyone, And when the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world, he refused for our benefit. I wonder if you'll think with me for a moment about what the Lord Jesus called the temple in Jerusalem when he was walking around on the earth. He called it his Father's house, his Father's dwelling place. Now, when I go back to Glasgow, what was my father's house? My mum lives there now. You know what happens? The door's flung open, the cans of Iron Brew are lined up, the fattened calf is slaughtered. When the Lord Jesus went to his Father's house, he had nothing to be scared of. He was home. He was in his Father's dwelling place. And as we think about the Lord Jesus and his death, and yes, he was buried and was raised to life again 3 days later, and some weeks after that, he ascended into heaven where he lives forever. He's in God's dwelling place right now, God's holy hill, and he will never, ever be shaken. Only the Lord Jesus can live at home with God. But how does this help us as we wrestle with this thought that how can we live at home with God now and forever? Well, I hope you realize what I'm not saying tonight is that you need to pull your socks up. You need to try a bit harder. You need to be the best you that you can be. And then perhaps you can live at home with God. It'll never happen. Sin is too much of a grip on us. To think like that is deadly. Instead, the amazing thing about this psalm is that as we trust and keep on trusting the Lord Jesus, the only one who can live at home with God, then he qualifies us to live at home with God now and forever. Only as we trust in the Lord Jesus does this psalm become our own personal song. You see, as I said, as we trust Jesus, he qualifies his people to live at home with God. You maybe heard me tell this story before, but there's one mountain guide in the Himalayas, one of the Sherpas, the Nepalese guide, who everyone who wants to climb Mount Everest wants to work with. Because in the 20 years or so, and the numerous times he's been up and down Mount Everest, he's never lost a mountaineer. They want to work with this guy. They want him to plan the route and take them up because they know they'll be safe. The Lord Jesus is the best and safest guide. He, as it were, takes us up God's holy hill. He opens the door so that we can dwell with God forever. And the first step in qualifying to live at home with God is when Jesus teaches us that we don't deserve to be there at all. You see, the Lord Jesus died for those who are not blameless but deserve God's blame. The Lord Jesus died for those whose walk is not righteous but wrongous. The Lord Jesus died for those whose words are false and whose loyalty is not to God but against God. Jesus died for those who accept bribes, who cast slurs on their fellow men, for those who don't keep their words, for those who extort the disadvantaged. At the cross, Jesus drank all the cup of God's punishment right down to the very bottom so that we could go and live with God at home now and forever. The Bible's quite clear that we don't make these qualifications. But for those who trust in the Lord Jesus, based on the fact that the Lord Jesus has done everything for us, he's kept God's commands, he's dealt with our sin, that as we trust in him, God opens the gates and says, come on in and sit down and make your home with me forever. Some friends of mine were recently visiting the Houses of Parliament. Now, if you go on just one of the normal tours, it's very good. But if you're with a staff member, they've got special cards that let you in special doors. You know, you can see where the bodies are buried. You get to see the, you know, some of the real goodies. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got the special card that gives us access to God. Think again as Jesus died. Mark records for us that the moment Jesus died, the curtain that was in God's temple in Jerusalem, the big keep out sign, the big curtain that meant that, you know, we had to stay far away from God, it was torn in two from top to bottom, because Jesus provides access so that we can go and sit and live in God's presence. One of the thieves who was crucified beside Jesus, a man who was guilty, who was getting just what he deserved, was promised that very day that he would go and be in God's presence now and forever. Why? Because he trusted Jesus. And Jesus had done everything that God requires for us to go and be at home with him. Just as he does for guilty sinners like me as well. We've got to keep trusting that only the Lord Jesus qualifies us to live at home with God. But it's not the only reason the psalm is here. You see, as we trust the Lord Jesus, he changes his people to live at home with God. You see, through faith in Jesus, these things that God has said, this is how he wants us to live as his people. Before I met Tricia, I had no great understanding or love of classical music. Trisha's a classically trained piano player. And it was funny that as we grew close, my interest in classical music started to grow. In fact, I even, you know, have sat through one or two operas and nearly enjoyed myself. When we start to live at home with God, in relationship with Jesus, we start to grow in the things that he loves, and we start to hate the things that he hates. We don't come into his tent and start to rearrange the furniture. You know, we need to move that bed and that sofa. Well, that doesn't really work, does it? No. He changes us, every part of us. And he rearranges us so that the qualities that we see in Psalm 15 are more and more on display in our lives. Let's think about that list just one more time. Let's go back to verse 2. With the help of the Lord Jesus, are we increasingly seeking to obey God in everything that we do? Are we seeking to be blameless? Are we seeking to do what is righteous? With the help of the Lord Jesus, is our speech increasingly true and restrained? Is there slander on our tongue? Are we doing our neighbor wrong? Are we still casting slurs on our fellow man? Or are we seen as the wet blanket, which is a good thing? Because the gossip stops with us, because we increasingly are the type of person who says, no, stop, I don't want to hear this. And actually, you shouldn't be talking like that either. There's a story told about a woman who went to visit her minister because she had a problem with gossip. And he said to her, well, here's what you should do. Climb up onto the roof with a feather pillow, and cut open the pillow and scatter the feathers into the wind. So she did it. She climbed back down, went to see her minister. And he said, now go and gather up all the feathers. And she said, that's impossible. And the minister said to her, well, that is what happens when we slander and gossip others. Those words scatter to the four winds, and it's hard to bring them back. The book of James tells us that our tongues can corrupt our whole bodies. But with the help of the Lord Jesus, are we increasingly using them for good? Encouraging our brothers and sisters, telling others about Jesus. What about our allegiance? Who do we admire? When we're reading or watching television programs, do we root for the baddie, for the villain, for the gangster, for those with the immoral lifestyle? Whose voice is loud in our head? To who we look up to, is that consistent with who we claim to follow? And the fourth thing, with the help of the Lord Jesus, are our actions increasingly honorable towards others? Do we keep our word even when it hurts? Those of us who are married, are we honoring our marriage promises? Do our wives know and our husbands know what we're looking at on the internet? On a sunny day in the park, where are our eyes fixed? Are we sitting down to tell our children about the Lord Jesus? At work, do we cut corners? Do we seek to take advantage, perhaps, of those who are underneath us? These things that God wants for us to do, to live our lives, these will set us apart as his people. They will show that we have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. And we're told that without holiness, no one will see God. You know, it's not enough to read these things, or hear these things, or talk about these things, or think about these things. God says that we should do these things. And the Lord Jesus will help us. The Lord Jesus qualifies us. He changes us. Finally tonight, the Lord Jesus guarantees his people eternal life at home with God. As we trust Jesus, we have eternal life. You might remember a few years ago that in the news for week after week was something called the jungle at Cali. Remember that, where lots of migrants were living as they tried to make the run onto the back of the lorry, or they were trying to walk through the Channel Tunnel? Well, last October, the camp was clear. The authorities came, the migrants were moved on, and the temporary dwellings, lots of them, were demolished. Jesus and God's presence will never be moved. He will never be shaken. It's not a temporary dwelling. And as his people united to him forever, we get to live at home with God forever. We get to look forward to the time where we will live in a place with no more weeping or sadness or sin or death. All these things will be gone. And as we trust in the Lord Jesus, you know what we can sing together? We shall not
be moved. We shall not be moved.
Now, I won't keep going. But that is a song that we can sing because the Lord Jesus guarantees that we will never be moved and never be shaken. But that is not true for everyone. You see, not everyone will be there. The last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, tells us that for those who don't trust the Lord Jesus, those who practice witchcraft, the sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, those who love and practice falsehood, anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus will not be there. They will face the punishment that their own sin deserves forever. And if you're not a believer here tonight, you can live at home with God now and forever. And it starts by realizing you don't deserve to be there. But as you trust Jesus and call out for forgiveness, as you accept that he died in your place to bring you to at home with God now and forever, then you will be forgiven. And you too can sing tonight, "We shall not be moved." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we don't deserve to live at home with you. We have done nothing to deserve your kindness, and yet you want us to come and stay close. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, the one who met your standards and died so that we could dwell with you. Forgive us when we don't match up to what you want for life. Please keep changing us until the day we are with you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.